Radio.
The Eucharist, Rebuilding the Church. A talk by Bishop John Corovo at the Capuchin Franciscan Youth Fest 2014.
Sisters and brothers, may the Lord give you peace. In his testament, St. Francis says, I see nothing corporally of the Most High Son of God except his most holy body and blood. For Francis, Jesus is corporally in our midst, and it is a moment for us to reflect how Eucharist is central in our call to rebuild the church. Eucharist is a central mystery of our faith. So you can consider Eucharist from many different perspectives. Tonight, I would like to reflect with you on Eucharist as central to our call to rebuild the church. I'd like to begin by reading four passages from the Word of God. And to take a short pauses between the readings to allow, first of all, the Lord to speak to us through his living word. Our first passage is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Moses went out and told the people all Yahweh's words and all the laws. And all the people answered with one voice, all the words Yahweh has spoken, we will carry out. Moses put all Yahweh's words into writing. And early next morning, he built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 standing stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he set certain young Israelites to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice bullocks to Yahweh as communion sacrifices. Moses then took half the blood and put it into basins. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then, taking the book of the covenant, he read it to the listening people, who then said, we shall do everything that Yahweh has said. We shall obey. Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it over the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant with Yahweh, the covenant Yahweh has made with you, entailing all these stipulations. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Suddenly the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs opened, and the bodies of many holy people rose from the dead. And these, after his resurrection, came out of the tombs, entered the holy city, and appeared to a number of people. The centurion, together with the others guarding Jesus, had seen the earthquake and all that was taking place. They were terrified and said, in truth, this man was the Son of God. And from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. The blessing cup which we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? And the loaf of bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? And as there is one loaf, so we, although there are many of us, are one single body, for we all share in the one loaf. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He got up from table, removed his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it round his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was wearing. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "At the moment you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Never," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you can have no share with me." Simon Peter said, "Well then, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said, "No one who has had a bath needs washing. Such a person is clean all over. You too are clean, though not all of you are." He knew who was going to betray him. That's why he said, "Though not all of you are." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment again, he went back to the table. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and rightly I am. If I then, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example that you may copy what I have done to you." I believe that these four passages from the scriptures open up an insight into the Eucharist and its power to build and rebuild the Church of God. That first scripture reading from the book of Exodus happens, it was the, we call the sealing of the covenant between God and his people. Now you have to understand a little bit the nature of the Jewish people at this time. Just imagine Australia with no central authority, no government. Some people might say it's a good idea, but what would happen? No government, no police force, nothing. What would happen? What happens in such a society? Iraq is a little bit like that right now. Utter chaos. And the survival of the fittest. Well, that's actually the situation in which the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, lived. There was no central authority. There was no one to enforce rights, enforce duties. And in such a society, what was the source of security? It was the family. Family was the real source of security. You had security in your family, so therefore they would want many children. Why? It was their protection against the world, and it was their social security blanket as well. When they grow older, they had family to look after them. And the extension of the family, the extended family, became the tribe. This was the source of their strength. Well, in such a society, Moses comes and calls them to say that their real unity will be found in God. And he says, he offers them a choice, that they will accept God's word, his commandments, and live by the word of God, and God will be with them. God will forge with them almost a blood relationship. He slaughters these animals. It's a gory reality. He slaughters these animals, divides the blood into two parts. Half of it he pours over the altar as a sign of the presence of the altar, the sign of the presence of God. The other half he sprinkles on the people, saying that in this way, God was forming a blood relationship with his people, and he will take care of you as family. You are the family of God. And people, will you've got their protection. God will care for you as his very family on the earth. It's interesting, in the liturgy of the Eucharist at the consecration, when we take the chalice, we say, "This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant." Jesus forms a new covenant. God forms a new covenant with us. Not a covenant with the blood of bulls and goats, but a covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. He forms a new unity with our human family in the mystery of his cross. In the total gift of himself and the cross, God forms a new unity with his people. And we celebrate that every time we celebrate Eucharist. What is the meaning of that unity? Well, we saw that in that passage from the Gospel of Matthew. That passage from the Gospel of Matthew is when Jesus dies on the cross. The curtain of the temple is ripped in two from top to bottom. The earth quakes, there's an earthquake, tombs are opened, and the bodies of saints, interestingly, the bodies of saints rise and walk the earth anew. This is what we call apocalyptic language. But it has a deep truth to it. The veil of the temple is ripped in two from top to bottom. What was the veil of the temple? The temple veil separated the body of the temple where the people were from the Holy of Holies, where the people considered was God's dwelling on earth. Once a year, one of the priests would go in to offer incense in the Holy of Holies. But that was a sacred place where the dwelling of God. So when they say the veil of the temple is split in two, basically what they're saying is, people viewing the death of Jesus could look right into the heart of God. In that saving death of Jesus, Jesus' enormous love on the cross opens up the heart of God, and you can stare into the heart of God looking at Jesus on the cross. And what does the centurion, he's a pagan, what does he say? Looking up at Jesus when he dies, he says, truly this is the Son of God. Francis says, I see nothing corporally of the Most High Son of God except his most holy body and blood. In the mystery of Eucharist, we stare into the heart of God. But then there's a second aspect that always threw me for a loop. It says, the bodies of saints rise from the dead. Well, why only the bodies of saints? Everybody's called to rise from the dead on the last day. But Matthew has a message. Right relationships, redeemed relationships appear on the earth through the power of the cross. In the death of Jesus, the bodies of saints, people who live right relationships with one another, they walk the earth anew. Right relationships appear on the earth through the power of the death of Jesus Christ. His redeeming death purifies human relationships so that right relationships can live on the earth again. If you step one step further to that passage from St. Paul, is not the blood we drink sharing in the death in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread we break, the one loaf, a sharing in the body of Christ? And we who drink of the one cup and eat of the one bread, we are the one body of Christ. We become one in the body of Christ. So every time we celebrate Eucharist, Jesus is there rebuilding his church. The church doesn't happen once forever. The church happens every day. Every day the church is renewed. And it's renewed powerfully in the mystery of the Eucharist. There is a new rubric when, you know, they brought in those new translations of the liturgy. Well, there's also new rubrics were brought in. You know, new practices are brought in. And I noticed you don't follow them, this one practice. You don't follow it here, at least in the Archdiocese of Sydney. But we follow it. It's a general instruction, what we call the general instruction of the Roman liturgy. What does it say to do? That after communion, when you come up for communion, the liturgy tells us, when you return to your place, you should remain standing until everybody in the church has received communion. Now, you don't have to do that. The bishops of Australia maybe didn't follow that rubric. They don't have to. I mean, it's a practice. It's not doctrine. Do you understand? But we follow it. I came to love that rubric. Do you know why? I read a commentary. There was a great Orthodox theologian, John Zizuolis, And he wrote this. He said, every Eucharistic celebration, even for a moment, we come to experience what he calls the parousia, that moment of Christ's second coming. What is Christ's second coming going to be? He's going to create universal sisterhood, brotherhood. He said that happens in every Eucharist. He said it might only happen for a moment, but for a moment, we're totally united in Jesus Christ. And I see that in that wonderful gesture. Why? In our churches, at communion time, everybody comes up to communion. Even those who are not totally in union with the church. So if they're not, some people, if for whatever reason, they might come up and they put their hand like this, and what happens? We give them a blessing. They receive a blessing. They're touched by the Eucharistic Lord. I'm distributing communion, and they come up, and somebody will say, they'll put their hand out like this, and I'll say, the body of Christ, and they say, amen, and we put the Eucharist in their hand, and they receive the Eucharist. Others come like this, and we give them a blessing. They bring babies up, and we lay our hands on the babies, and we give them a blessing. Why? They're touched by the Eucharistic Christ. Everybody in the church is touched by the Eucharistic Christ. They go back to their places, they remain standing. For that one moment, we're all united in one reality, Jesus Christ. All differences between us are wiped out. There's only one reality that unites us, Jesus Christ, who is in our midst. It's a powerful proclamation of what Eucharist is there to effect. The Eucharist builds every time we celebrate Eucharist. Christ is in our midst building the church, making us one loaf, making us one bread, making us one in his Eucharistic presence. He rebuilds the church. Rebuilding the church isn't our work. Rebuilding the church is the work of Jesus Christ. And every time we celebrate Eucharist, Christ is at work in our hearts, rebuilding his church. But then there's a second dimension. And that we get from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John always has a special perspective. And in John's Gospel, every word and every detail has meaning. What is the first detail he's got? John doesn't talk about the bread and wine. Chapter 13 is John's presentation of the Eucharist. And where does he start? He starts at the end of the Eucharist. He says, Jesus rose from table. It was the end of the meal. John's got another message. What is John's message? Well, in the first 12 chapters of John's Gospel, there are two themes that predominate. Light and life. I am the light of the world. I have come to give you life and give you life in abundance. From chapter 13 onward, there is only one theme. It's love. It's love. And two realities bring love alive in these last chapters of John's Gospel. The washing of feet and the cross. And these two in the Gospel of John are one. What John is telling us in today's gospel reading, in this gospel reading, is that his cross will come alive in the world through service. That people will come to know the living presence of God in their midst only through service. We see when he comes to Peter and he wants to wash Peter's feet, Peter says, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part with me. If the church does not wash the feet of the world will not come to know Jesus Christ. For the gospel of Jesus moves into the world. The power of Christ moves into the world through dedicated service of Christians. And therefore, at the end of the Mass, we've got the sending forth. Father Paul spoke of that today. The sending forth is an important aspect. And these two go together. Remember, a few moments earlier, we've received the Eucharist, and we're all standing as a sign that in Christ we are a new creation. And there is one reality that is uniting us, and it is the presence of our Eucharistic Lord in our midst, who's rebuilding his church. And then a few minutes later, we get the commission. The Mass has ended. Go forth and proclaim by your lives the gospel you profess. Become. You are now the living gospel of Jesus Christ. You're the living presence of Christ in the world. Go forth and through your service, bring his saving presence to the world. Go rebuild my church, which you can see is falling into ruin. Well, to rebuild the church, it's not, we're not the construction agents. We're not the general contractors in rebuilding this church. The general contractor is Jesus Christ. He is the force who builds his church. And every time we come to Eucharist, we corporally come to experience the living presence of Christ. We come and Christ is there, reforming our relationships, bringing through forgiveness, through acceptance, through mutual acceptance and understanding, creating new unity in our midst, in order that we, as the united one body of Christ, can then be sent forth into the world to proclaim by our lives, to proclaim by our actions, to proclaim by our service that Christ is alive. We pray as we have these moments of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament that our hearts may be open to this lived presence. For also as we gather this evening and you're all united in the adoration of the one Lord, Christ, it's not a one-dimensional thing. It's not a one-directional reality. Adoration is not one-directional. It's not what you're doing for Jesus. By opening your heart in adoration to the Eucharistic Lord, Christ comes back in abundance to our hearts. So in a very real sense, we are formed anew as this living body of Christ, and we are being commissioned by this action to be a people to go forth from these days of recollection and retreat, to go forth and be his living presence, to proclaim by our lives, to proclaim by our actions, that Jesus is Lord, and that in Jesus Christ we are a new creation. All division can be overcome, and unity can be proclaimed. Though we are many, we are one in Jesus Christ. Though we are all different, we are one in Jesus Christ. In Christ, all differences can be overcome, and we can be united as the living body of Jesus.
That was Bishop John Corriveau on the Eucharist, Rebuilding the Church. The Capuchin Franciscan Youth Fest was held at Ruthane Conference Centre in southern Sydney. For more talks from the Capuchin Young Adults, and for more news, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.